Welcome to Moolah Matters with Ina. The findings of the Momentum UNISA Household Financial Wellness Index for 2022 shows that couples are more inclined than other household types to set financial goals. In contrast, single adults with minor children are least likely to set financial goals. The findings also show that couples with minor children tend to show a stronger responsibility for their future, but only a very small number of households conduct complex financial planning and use financial products to achieve their long-term and short-term financial goals, leaving much of their financial future over to chance. Any household can create money habits that will significantly improve its financial situation. To improve financial success and financial wellness, households must set and actively pursue the aim of achieving their financial goals. Not pursuing financial goals is one of the biggest challenges all types of South African households face. Sound financial advice can assist them on a journey to financial success in changing their financial behavior. Today, we chat to Christelle Lowe, advisory partner at Citadel, about talking to your partner about money and saving for retirement. Welcome, Christelle.
Hello, Ina. Pleased to be here.
Christelle, is money often a bone of contention for couples?
Yes, I have to say, the problem there is that couples don't always talk about finances, and when a situation arises, then they don't really know how to cope with it because they've never discussed that before. And it's really that strategy, the big picture thinking that they don't have, and they don't know how to deal with this matter then.
Is it important for couples to talk about money?
Oh, it's very important. You know what? Lots of us hasn't been socialized with money in our households. Our parents probably didn't talk about money, so it's almost like a taboo
Mm-hmm.
or a very uncomfortable topic to actually deal with.
At what stage of a relationship should you start to talk about money?
Well, I don't think it's on the first date. I really think it's when
Okay.
you get to know each other and when you actually start becoming quite serious. But I think in meeting each other and getting to know each other better, you already pick up some nuances about how the person will deal with money. So the sooner the better.
How important is it to have a shared vision and goals?
I think that is critical. I think that's the benefit that you have when you're in a relationship. You can dream about your future. You can dream about what you want to achieve. And that's basically, setting goals. It's like you dream about that, but you have to bring it to reality. So by knowing what you would like, you can start putting shorter term, medium term, and longer term goals in place.
How do you align your financial goals with that of your partner?
It is basically that communication. It's the dreams that you have. It's to make sure that you're on the same page. So that it's discussions. It's thinking about, what type of house you want to stay in. Do you want to own a house? What type of vehicle do you want to drive? What type of education do you want to give your children? And based on that, the goals need to be set.
And when do you start talking about retirement savings?
I prefer to think about financial independence or financial freedom, as opposed to retirement, because retirement seems to be such an old-fashioned concept and almost something that people don't want to approach or don't want to engage with. Clients work until age 75 plus, brilliant in what they do. So to answer your question, when you start talking about savings, it's as soon as you've set that first short-term goal. It may be your wedding, that you want to fund.
Yes. How do you ensure that you will still have retirement savings if your relationship does not last?
Well, that's a very important question because that often happens. And it's important for couples to allow each other to have individual and independent planning. And when you combine this planning, it looks so much better. But individually, at least your planning is also in place. It also depends on how you married. Of course, because if you're married in community, it is 50-50% in any event. If you're married with an accrual contract, then it's out of community, and it's really just the benefits of being together in a marriage that will be split 50-50.
What strategies should you follow to look after your personal funding requirements?
Personal funding in this context, I see as, having sufficient capital or to produce an income when you don't earn any longer. So thinking of, of personal funding in that sense would mean that you have to do a financial projection. You need to know what you need to live off. So a budget will form part of that. And it is planning it, and it's not a one-day job. It is something that you do over your entire lifetime. To start saving at a very late age is very demanding because it means that you have to save between 30 and 40% of what you earn if you're 50 years and older. If you start early, at the age of 25, you've got the freedom to only contribute to 10% to 15% and be completely financially independent, when you do want to draw capital from that amount.
Christelle, what would a good investment strategy for a couple look like?
I think we always talk about the boring investments. It starts with the normal contribution to your pension fund. So it's individual contributions. Then it is, if necessary, a top up to a retirement annuity. And then it's filling up your tax-free savings. So I think that's the three initial steps. The goal setting is very important to say that is now the savings plan, but you may be confronted with the down payment of a bond that you need to service. So if that is the scenario, then you probably delay your tax-free saving and you'd rather enter into the bond and pay that off as soon as possible. So that's the goal setting and the discussion that will be required. It will also depend on the rate of return that you can earn on your investments relative to the bond rate. Now, where we now, the bond rate is quite high. So the advice would be that couples pour all the excess capital, whatever they have, pour it into their bond to pay that down as soon as possible.
And why is contingency planning important?
Contingency planning in terms of risk, personal risk management is important because if you love your partner, love your spouse, love the person and your family, you do want to make sure that they're not in dire straits or in a financial emergency when you do pass away. So it's important to at least cover the household expenses plus any debt that you have through risk cover that you take. Now, risk cover is an uncomfortable cover. You may never use it. But if you need that, it is so important. The second important cover, of course, is disability cover. If you don't have a group life scheme that covers these contingencies, then it's important to really consider that. Unfortunately, it is costly, but it is so important in the building block of any financial plan.
And then also to make provision for medical expenses.
Absolutely. Medical expenses. It is not a benefit that you often find as part of a group scheme, group risk cover scheme. That is something that you often need to engage and actually purchase individually. And also the funding of that will come from your accumulated capital. Now, we always project medical expenses at 4% above inflation because that's the realistic rate of growth on medical expenses. So it is a very costly expense, and part of the risk cover, but very necessary. The best advice that I have there is to ensure that you cover for your specific circumstances. If you know that a hospital plan will be sufficient with gap cover, then it's going to save you some funds as opposed to a very comprehensive medical cover.
How can a couple create a contingency plan?
The first step is to set that goals and say, what do we want to achieve? And then the funding, the two salaries coming in, or the commissions, or the lump sum income that is generated, depending on what sort of income you're generating. So the starting point is to assume that that income will be generated over a lifetime. If I say a lifetime, it's for the next 30, 40 years if you're 20 years old. It's up to age 65 at least. So that's the starting point to see what is that income, what will that buy you? And then you actually take away one of the incomes from either partner and say, what capital amount do we need to fund the same outcome? And that capital amount is really the risk cover that you need to put in place.
Will less insecurity about money help your relationship?
I definitely think so. They say money can't buy you happiness, which is true, but your money can actually really assist you to
I
sort out
want.
all the very small emergencies that put places immense stress on relationships between couples, and insecurity when it comes to their relationship. Can they rely on each other? You can imagine how bad it is if you can't speak to your partner
Yes.
about finances. And we often hear that a partner will say, "Don't worry, everything is sorted," up to the point where there is an emergency and then it's not sorted, and then the family is compromised and their finances are compromised. So very important to ensure that you do build that cash buffer or an emergency account. I always say it should be at least 3 times your monthly expenses for a household, to make sure that you can dip into that if you need new tires or a child's got an emergency or there's a family emergency.
So, how do you keep your partner accountable for your finances?
You know, if it comes to accountability, it is really to cement and get commitment when it comes to the goals, the short-term goals, the medium-term, the long-term goals. I often find if the goals are set out too far, you don't get a buy-in because it seems so unlikely. You know, it's 20, 30 years away. So the short-term goals is important. So if you get, let's say it is the next holiday that you both will enjoy with your family, that's a good reward to actually have. So if you have that, if you get into the small steps and get that right, to actually get the finances and the goal setting for longer term goals is easier. Now, another thing there is, we often focus on budget and what our spouses are spending. I think that's the wrong way around. That is important, but we need to focus on what our spouses are saving, because the spending should be relatively discretionary as long as it's aligned with the family expenses. But if you want to substitute one expense for another, I don't think that should be the cause of a fight. The cause of conflict should really be when you don't save sufficiently and you're letting the family down.
Christelle, thank you so much for your time today. You really gave us a lot to think about.
Thank you, Ina, and all the best for all your listeners on the journey, on their financial journey.
Thank you.